Chapter 6. She Goes Forth Out of Hands and... Madara has always had a bit of a problem keeping his temper. Izuna is the type to seethe quietly and hide it behind a cheerful smile. It's enough to make Madara wary, because when his little brother is angry, the sunnier he seems, the worse it actually is. Things build and build and simmer until it all erupts. In contrast, Madara tends to blow up at every little thing. But unless it's something grave, his anger vanishes quickly and leaves exasperation in its wake. He can't stop his outbursts, can't control his actions when he's furious, but he's never harmed anyone he hasn't meant to, because clan is everything. Family is everything. And Madara never forgets that. He's like a geyser, prone to going off frequently and explosively and calming quickly. But in this he thinks he can understand Izuna's simmering, churning type of anger. He breathes out slowly, controlled and careful, and turns the stone Hashirama sent him over in his hand. Bewilderment. Another thing which he's never dealt with easily. Wars with the rage, because he thinks he can understand Hashirama's position, as much as he hates it. Dreams of peace, especially when they're long held, are hard to let go. And Hashirama, like Madara himself, has been clinging to the idea of peace for so very long that it's almost an obsession. However, where Madara dreams of peace for his family's sake, Hashirama wants peace for everyone's sake, and that puts things in a rather different perspective. For all that they have a rare understanding of each other, Hashirama and Madara are very much different people. And this incident has only brought that knowledge into greater focus. Hashirama looks forward, eyes taking in the world as a whole, and Madara can't quite manage that. His peace is based on survival, on his family, on never seeing another of his brothers die before their time. Hashirama wants peace because it will make the world a better place. And it's a good dream, but Madara is too selfish to follow it fully. He wonders, a little absently, bouncing the stone in his hand, if that's one of the reasons they parted as children. If that's why they've been friends, but at odds for so many years. Because when given the choice, Madara picked his family. He chose Izuna and his father over a friend who shared his dream, and walked away without looking back. Because even if neither of them understood him, they were his family. Even if it meant war, meant fighting and dying for someone he had never accepted and never believed in, Madara wasn't about to turn his back on anyone dear to him. The resolve he felt that day woke his Sharingan for the first time, and Madara hasn't allowed himself to falter since. At long last, the Uchiha are tired of war. At long last, Madara can finally take a few tentative steps towards a lasting peace. And he will, because Izuna nearly died a handful of days ago, because it was the closest Madara has ever come to losing his little brother, and he won't allow it to happen again. There will be protests, he's sure. The elders are already up in arms, and Madara had to spend the majority of his meeting with them shouting at the top of his voice to be heard. But Madara can't let things stay as they are. In their world, facing a clan as mighty as the Senju, it's more likely than not that someday someone will get lucky. Izuna is good, nearly Madara's equal, but he only needs to falter once. Next time, there might not be a miracle waiting in the form of a suicidal enemy. Well, perhaps not suicidal, Madara allows with a sigh. If anything, Tobirama is self-sacrificing, to the point that Madara can't fathom why anyone ever lets him out of their sight. Can't fathom why Hashirama ever lets him out of his sight. Because a streak of selflessness that runs that deep is something to fear. Tobirama is strong. He's a fearsome shinobi, for all that his brother is the one to earn the title of God. Madara has never seen anyone better with Suiton jutsus, even among those from clans in Mist Country and Wave Country. And Tobirama isn't one to rely solely on those skills, either. He has a formidable mind, and his Fuinjutsu echoes that. For the Senju to lose him, it might not be a devastating blow, but it would be a grave one. And yet, Tobirama managed to walk out of his clan's compound unchallenged, unimpeded. Hashirama said nothing, and only Tōka marked his departure. Perhaps he snuck out, but was there really no one else to notice that he was missing? Granted, Madara thinks, snorting softly, Tobirama is hardly a man who invites friendly overtures. He is standoffish and so blunt that it borders on rude, never wholly able to comprehend that most people's minds can't work quite as quickly as his. He's frequently annoyed, more prone to glares than smiles, and among a clan of people who tend towards earth-brown hair and dark skin, his paleness and red eyes make him a singular, intimidating figure. It's likely that there are few people, even among his own clan, who are close enough to him to notice his absence. But Hashirama should have, and it was that Madara marked as the first oddity when Tobirama came. He said his brother wouldn't notice for at least 3 days, maybe even a week, and that's wrong. It's so very wrong that it makes Madara's skin prickle. It makes him grit his teeth to hold back a growl. Because even if Tobirama and Hashirama aren't close, they're brothers, to fight. And after Toka's words and Tobirama's, he's certain that's what happened. And then dismiss Tobirama completely from his mind? How could Hashirama do such a thing? Clearly, if Tōka felt worried enough to break Tobirama's confidence and then come after him, this isn't simply Madara not understanding things between non-Uchiha people again. This is wrong, and Madara won't be convinced otherwise. Hashirama is a great man, a great leader. Of that, Madara has absolutely no doubt. But that doesn't mean he's even halfway decent as a brother. It might even mean the opposite, in fact, because Hashirama looks to his dreams and sees the future, while Madara does the same and sees his family. He wonders, catching the smooth-edged rock and wrapping his fingers around it again, whether it's because he's always heard Hashirama's version of the future that Tobirama can't believe in it. What if he could understand Madara's version better? Tobirama was willing to sacrifice his life for his brother, so Madara thinks he could. That's what Madara's piece is about, after all. Freedom from loss. Ending the fighting, uniting the warring clans. That's a bonus. That's secondary. First and foremost is saving everyone precious. Madara wonders, too, why he wants Tobirama to understand, to agree. Maybe Tobirama isn't an enemy anymore, but he's still very close to it. Unlike Hashirama, who walks a different path to the same goal, Madara and Tobirama walk the same path, but with separate destinations. It's only by chance, coincidence, a series of events that somehow toppled forward in a domino fall of events to lead them to this. Never before has Madara allowed himself to contemplate either of the Senju brothers as anything beyond a threat, a danger to their clan. Now, though, he looks at Tobirama and for the first time sees the man's potential as an ally. He'd make a powerful one, especially against the dissenters. After all, there's no better ally than the man who was once their most formidable enemy. If Tobirama can want peace, can risk his own life for it, surely the rest of his clan can do no less. Madara doesn't trust him. Not entirely. But even not entirely means that there is some small bit of trust growing. Despite Madara's intentions. Likely he'll always be at least partly wary, given Tobirama's role in Izuna's near death. But just as with Tobirama's offer of healing, this is a chance to save Izuna's life, and Madara will take it even if there are risks. Better a few moments of danger with the possibility of safety than a lifetime of danger without it. And beyond that, Tobirama has had more chances than Madara can count to escape, and he hasn't so much as appeared to consider it. He even attempted to send a rescuer away, and Madara chooses to take that as a declaration of sincerity. Besides, he's yet to wrap his head around the relationship between the Senju brothers, and until he can, Madara isn't entirely sure he wants to let Tobirama leave. It's foolish. Izuna would call him a busybody of the worst kind and rib him mercilessly. And Tobirama most certainly wouldn't thank him for his misplaced protectiveness, as their conversation last night showed. Even so, Madara can't quite manage to ignore the low-level burn of uneasiness in his gut. For so long it's been him and Izuna, leaning only on each other. And to have a brother but let them think their death would go all but unnoticed? Madara isn't one to champion other people's causes, but if he has to, he'll beat Hashirama over the head until he realizes just how much he's let his relationship with his brother slip away. And if that doesn't work, Madara will be more than happy to hide Tobirama away where he won't ever again have to look at his brother and feel abandoned. Tobirama can insist all he likes that it was his choice, that he did it for the good of the clan as a whole. Madara saw his face when they spoke of redemption, of making amends. Whatever Hashirama said to give him the impression that he had to die, had to suffer a gruesome, agonizing death, because Madara knows his own rage, knows what would have happened had Izuna actually died, in order for Hashirama to love him. Never, ever, ever will Madara accept that it was an even remotely healthy relationship that led to something like that. Footsteps pull him out of his musings, the quiet crunch of shinobi sandals on the rocky shore. Madara glances up to see Hashirama step out onto the water, clearly intending to cross over to his side and... red. The red of rage is all Madara can see for half an instant, and before he can even pause to consider, he's on his feet and the round stone he was holding is instead hurling through the air at impossible speeds. Even Hashirama, with his incredible reflexes, isn't fast enough to dodge it. The stone strikes him squarely in the center of the forehead with a dull crack, and he yelps, arms pinwheeling as he suddenly loses his balance. One foot slips beneath the surface of the water, then steadies, but by then it's too late. Madara crosses his arms over his chest and watches with utmost satisfaction as the god of shinobi shrieks and tumbles into the river, disappearing briefly before he surfaces with a spluttering gasp. "Madara!" he wails, fighting the current to drag himself up onto the bank. "What was that for?" Were this one of their childhood meetings, Madara would laugh and mock him, but it's not. It's not, and for one brief moment, all Madara can hear is Tobirama's voice. A quiet and steady, "My actions lost me Hashirama's fondness, even if he still loved me. And perhaps it's selfish, but I don't want to look into my brother's eyes and see only regret." Tobirama saved himself, and Hashirama looked at him with regret. Tobirama lived, and Hashirama blamed him for it. Maybe there were other factors. Maybe Hashirama didn't mean it like that. But Madara doesn't care. Because this man's little brother came to him prepared to die, and it was Hashirama's words that drove him there. He doesn't answer, simply glares as Hashirama staggers upright, and the Senju's expression sobers. Straightening, he pushes his sopping hair back behind his ears, squares his shoulders and meets Madara's gaze with wide, entreating eyes. "Madara," he says quietly. "Madara, where is Tobirama? What happened to my brother?" Every spare moment of the day, and a good portion of the previous night, Madara devoted solely to planning this conversation, laying all possible avenues out in his mind. But what comes out when he opens his mouth isn't the calm demand for information that he had intended. Instead, he snaps, "You saw the battle as well as I did, Hashirama. What do you think happened to your brother?" It's cruel, unspeakably cruel, to allow Hashirama to assume the worst. But the vicious, angry part of Madara, not small, never deeply buried, relishes watching Hashirama's eyes go even wider before his expression crumples. He takes a step forward, face a mask of incomprehension that slowly bleeds into horror, and he reaches out with one hand, as though begging Madara to change his words. "No," Hashirama whispers. "No, please, Madara, you don't mean that." Madara feels faintly sick at this charade, and Hashirama's naivety in equal measure. "What did you expect?" he hisses. "Really, when he came to me, knelt before me, and offered himself up, what did you think I would do? Really, Hashirama, did you send him to me expecting I would have mercy?" The devastation on Hashirama's face is easy to read, as is the horrified denial in his eyes. "No, you wouldn't. We're friends. You can't have..." "We're enemies," Madara snarls. "Have you forgotten our clans are at war? Have you forgotten all the dead between us? Maybe someday there will be peace, but that was a battle. Izuna was a victim. We captured an enemy soldier in our woods after he mortally wounded my little brother, and you want me to have mercy?" The sudden, wild surge of grief is unanticipated, though Madara likely should have expected it. Hashirama gives a choked cry and throws himself forward, lashing out. But it's slow and clumsy, far below his normal standards. Madara dodges it easily, then sidesteps the following punch and twists away from the sudden lash of Mokuton that makes branches explode from the ground. "He was my brother!" Hashirama cries, and his voice cracks as Madara knocks a punch aside. "And yet you sent him out to die," Madara taunts. But even though he wants to, he doesn't try to return any of the blows. "I'm surprised you didn't tie a bow around his neck yourself." A snarl turns into a sob, and Hashirama stumbles. He loses his footing and falls to his knees, skidding painfully on the stone. But he doesn't try to rise. He simply kneels there, shoulders starting to shake, fingers curling impotently into the rocks, and something wet drips down onto the earth. "I didn't," he chokes out, though Madara can barely understand him through the tears. "I didn't want him to go. I didn't. I told him to leave me be, to go away, but now he's gone, and... He sobs, not dramatic, dainty tears, but ugly. Ugly and ripped open, every last bit of anguish laid bare without mercy. They tear at Hashirama, make him curl in on himself, shaking, hair falling around him to hide his face. Madara doesn't need to see it, though. He knows that torment very well. The only reason he isn't caught in its grasp right now is because Tobirama managed to produce a miracle. And he can't sustain his fury. Can't cling to that red haze in the face of Hashirama's clear grief. With a soft sigh, he crosses to Hashirama's side and drops to his knees, reaching out to curl a hand around Hashirama's shoulder. The other man flinches at the touch, but Madara ignores it, gripping tightly. "Stop it," he orders, and it's not quite gentle. But then, he's not a gentle person. "Tobirama is alive. I didn't kill him." Hashirama's head snaps up, face blotchy from crying. His eyes red. "Then why?" he starts, but his voice breaks. "Because I would have killed him," Madara answers, not letting Hashirama's gaze waver. He wants this man to know the truth, because he's never hidden himself from Hashirama and isn't about to start now. If Izuna had died, I would have tortured him until death was a mercy. But Izuna is alive, as is your brother. Another sob, but this one is relief more than sorrow. And Hashirama tilts his head back, turning his face up to the sun. Alive, he repeats in a whisper. Oh gods, thank you. Thank you, Madara. By all rights, Madara should feel compassion right now. Remorse. Pity, at the very least. Instead, he thinks of Tobirama stealing one last bit of comfort in the touch of his cousin's hand. Remembers, he values peace, and I stole his chance at it. What else could I do? Remembers, what kind of brother would I be? And Toka's snapped response of, the living kind. And just, can't. Tobirama is not a man who invites closeness. Even so, for a bond to have fractured this much, for one brother to stand so separate from the younger who trails faithfully in his shadow, it can't be solely Tobirama's fault here. By willful blindness, by ignorance, by simple inattention, Hashirama has been neglectful. Not of his clan, not of those who need him, but Tobirama doesn't need him. Not the way everyone else does. For all that he's younger, Tobirama is cool and calm and formidable, well able to stand on his own. There is no physical dependence to tie him to Hashirama, only emotional, which is far, far easier to overlook. But graver, Madara thinks, in the long run. Explain it to me, Madara says quietly. How did your little brother go from cutting mine down in battle to all but throwing himself on my kunai? Hashirama's breath hitches, and he drops his gaze from the sky to meet Madara's. There are tears still running down his cheeks, and the sheer force of the emotion hanging around the man makes Madara's skin crawl. But he doesn't allow himself to look away. After a long moment, shame clouds Hashirama's eyes, and he bows his head. We argued, he starts, reaching up to wipe at his eyes. When we returned from the battlefield, all I could think was that if Izuna told you with his dying breath not to trust us, me, then you never would again. The dream of clans united was ours, meant to be shared, and I was petty. Petty and angry and clinging to bits of grudges I should have let die long ago. So I asked Tobirama why he couldn't have shown mercy, just once. He's fast enough, smart enough. He could have thought of a way, but Tobirama... He shakes his head, releasing a shuddering breath. He's very like our father, always quick to draw his sword, always testing the very boundaries of sense when he's looking for power. Did you know he found a way to reanimate the dead? He can't quite bring them back to life, but I caught him once, with a cat who had just died. He recalled its soul, and when I confronted him, he couldn't even understand what I was angry about. Despite his best efforts, a cold shiver works its way down Madara's spine. He considers the implications. Armies of the dead... Familiar faces with familiar souls called back to fight and has to swallow bile. It's easy to forget when people call Hashirama the god of shinobi. But Tobirama is even more of a genius than his brother. And that bit of horror alone just made him someone Madara would be far less willing to face on a battlefield. He'd choose Hashirama's straightforward resolve over Tobirama's cunning brilliance any day. A cat is all he manages when he finally gets his mouth working again. If it's a faintly dry rasp, Madara thinks he can be forgiven. Then he remembers the topic they're straying from and shakes himself. You fought, he says instead. Hashirama nods, expression twisting with something that's not quite regret, but not quite anything else. I was angry, he offers helplessly. And lonely, I suppose. You're the only one who's ever understood. And with Izuna's death, I lost that. It's not an excuse, but I lashed out. I said things I shouldn't have. But he doesn't say they weren't true. Madara rakes a hand through his hair before shoving himself to his feet and turning away to pace. And you blamed him for surviving, he bites out. Hashirama, we are friends, but our clans must come first. And that was war. He is your brother. You think I'm unaware of that? Hashirama rises as well, looking as though he's about to take another swing at the Uchiha. It certainly seems like it. Reverse our positions. Can you even imagine me driving Izuna far enough away that he would do that? That he would think the only way to win back my love was to die? You imbecile! This is not a matter of dreams and friendship. He is your family! There's little victory to be had in watching Hashirama's face go about 10 shades paler. One staggering step back, as if struck with a mortal wound, and Hashirama sinks gracelessly back to the ground. He said that, the man whispers through bloodless lips. He thought that? My actions lost me Hashirama's fondness, even if he still loved me. And perhaps it's selfish, but I didn't want to look into my brother's eyes and see only regret. Madara repeats from memory, because those words have hardly left his mind since Tobirama spoke them, and sees Hashirama flinch, clearly recognizing his brother's wording. Refusing to allow himself to feel pity, he crosses his arms over his chest and glares. But Hashirama looks at him with wide, watering eyes, and he finds he can't hold it. With a sigh, he just shakes his head. It doesn't matter anymore. Tobirama is alive. Izuna is alive. I've hardly laid a hand on your brother. Go back to your clan, Hashirama, and wait for my messenger. If we're all very lucky, we may even get the peace we want out of this. He turns, but before he can leave, a large hand catches his arm, and Hashirama gently tugs him back. Tobirama is well? He asks, and as ever, his heart is on his sleeve and in his eyes. He's not. Tortured? Madara finishes for him, tugging his arm out of Hashirama's grip. No. There was some rough handling, but bargaining chips are treated far better than prisoners of war. Both he and that Hellcat Kunoichi who came after him are safe. Relief bleeds through the concern, and Hashirama smiles faintly. She tried to gut me, he confides, after she opened his letter. I was planning on breaking your nose, Madara returns sourly. But the sight of the perfectly round bruise already blossoming with dark colors on the Senju's forehead is at least slightly mollifying. I'm not a good man, Hashirama, but I hold family dear. To see you throw that away? Overlook, Hashirama corrects a little sadly. But Madara, had you killed Tobirama, seeking revenge for something that couldn't be undone would be pointless. I wouldn't risk my clan's future for that. I couldn't. Madara's entering smile is entirely too crooked to hold any humor. I'm well aware. That's the difference between us, Hashirama. You are a good man, and if we do manage to achieve peace, you'll be the best to lead us into it and keep us there. But I would put my family before anything, because I'm selfish and callous and spiteful. And even if I regretted it, I wouldn't waver. Thank whatever deity brings you luck, because if Tobirama hadn't managed to save my little brother, I would have killed him. And should peace fail, should we meet on a battlefield again, I won't hesitate to strike down anyone who threatens those dear to me. He doesn't wait for a response, but turns on his heel and leaps for the trees, landing on a low branch and jumping for the next without pause. The river grows small behind him, the rushing of the water fainter, and Madara turns his face towards home. He has things to think about and a request for peace talks to draft. There's no time to linger on friendships that can't even officially exist yet. Tobirama sits on the edge of the small deck, bare feet resting on the cool grass as the setting sun shades everything gold and crimson. His eyes sting, rather more sensitive to light than most, but it's lovely enough that he doesn't care. 3 days ago, he'd thought sights like this lost forever, had thought he'd never see another sunset or sunrise again, and though he's hardly one for sentiment, he finds he has a new appreciation for such things now. There are guards, of course, 3 of them that he can sense, and the Kunoichi with the burn scar, who's openly leaning against the wall behind him. The rest are shadowing Toka and Izuna on a walk somewhere within the compound. Tobirama thought he heard talk of a library, and the knowledge-hungry scholar inside him wants desperately to follow, to see the Uchiha clan's repository of learning. But he knows better. For one, Toka seems amusingly interested in the Uchiha, who only a week ago was one of her enemies, and growing up with her has taught Tobirama not to interfere with her dates for any reason. When Tobirama was 12 and Toka 18, he'd crashed one of her dates to demand an explanation of a particularly tricky genjutsu, and she's never allowed him to forget it, or live it down, for that matter. For another, Tobirama is quite happy to have even a few hours that he can pretend are to himself. He hasn't had much opportunity, not since Madara let him out of the cell. And like the hermit Toka so often calls him, he's more used to solitude than this constant surveillance. The guards are necessary, but one that Tobirama is determined to tune out. All the better for contemplation. And despite his time in the cell, Tobirama feels as though he hasn't had nearly enough since he arrived. It's Madara's fault. Tobirama is used to seeing him as an enemy to hate and fear, a friend of Hashirama's whose shadow Tobirama will never escape, used to seeing a warrior ready to slaughter Senju, rather than the frazzled man who passed by briefly this morning with word that he'd browbeaten the elders into some semblance of agreement, and would be sending notices out shortly. Used to seeing a shinobi, rather than a man. The shift is disorienting. From somewhere beyond the edge of the garden, bright laughter rises, and Tobirama lifts his head, smiling despite himself. The sound of children at play is unmistakable, and simply hearing them is enough to brighten Tobirama's mood. He was always the one to help their mother care for Itama and Kawarama, since Hashirama had duties as the eldest, and it continued even after she died. The skill has carried over, and one of the best ways Tobirama has found to distract himself from nightmares and dark thoughts is to surround himself with children. The opportunities for doing so are often slim, but Tobirama takes advantage of them whenever he can. Performing a few small tricks with chakra is a simple enough price to pay for solace, after all. As if in answer to that thought, the shouting and laughter draws nearer. Tobirama turns to look as a small group of children tumble out of the garden paths, pushing and shoving. In the commotion, a red ball bounces away unheeded and rolls to a stop at Tobirama's feet. Half a moment later, one of the younger boys cries out and stumbles after it, reaching out automatically. Very aware of the guard's eyes on him and the way their hands linger close to their weapons, Tobirama slowly reaches down and picks the ball up carefully, then offers it to the boy with a faint smile. "Yours, I take it?" he asks politely. The boy is clearly an Uchiha, but his dark hair is wilder than most, wisps straggling past his ears and trying to curl. Black eyes land on Tobirama's face, then widen, and he ignores the toy to lean forward intently. "You don't have the Sharingan, but your eyes are red," he says wonderingly. "Why is that?" It's a question Tobirama has heard before, if rarely phrased so bluntly. Still, there's no malice in this child, so he answers calmly. "I was born this way. My grandmother had red eyes as well."
"And white hair?"
the boy wants to know. He takes the ball when Tobirama offers it again, but doesn't seem inclined to leave. Honestly, Tobirama doesn't mind. It's an escape from his thoughts, even if it isn't quite the one he intended to find. No, her hair was red. She was an Uzumaki. Seeing the boy's face screw up in confusion, Tobirama clarifies. From a clan in Whirlpool Country, most of them have red hair. The boy considers this for a moment, then determinedly plops himself down on the deck next to Tobirama, setting his toy at his feet. I saw a snake that looked like you once, he says cheerfully. That's interesting, Tobirama offers after a moment, not sure whether he should be insulted. Was it a nice snake? He grins, showing off a missing bottom tooth, and then stretches his arms out as far as they'll go. It was a summon, so it was this big! Can you summon snakes, too? There's a clan that's particularly attuned to serpents, though Tobirama can't quite recall their name. He wonders how this child could have gotten close enough to meet one of their creatures, but doesn't ask. No, I have a contract with the snow leopards, but I don't summon them often. They don't like to be disturbed unless it's for something very important. That's too bad, the boy consoles him. I like cats. I'm Kagami. Unable to help it, Tobirama gives him a smile. I do as well, he admits. It's very nice to meet you, Kagami. I'm Tobirama. That earns him a wide grin. My sister's cat just had kittens. They're really, really, really small. Do you want to come see them? Kasan says we can look if we're super quiet and don't touch them yet. Somehow, Tobirama doesn't think his guards will make allowances for him to leave simply to look at kittens, as much as he would like to go. Forgive me, he tells Kagami gravely, but my cousin will be back soon, and she'll worry if I'm not here to greet her. Another day, perhaps? The boy looks disappointed, but nods reluctantly. Okay, they're probably asleep anyway. They sleep a lot. One of the girls shouts his name and Kagami looks up. The group is heading back towards the far end of the garden, giggling and laughing, and Kagami scrambles from his perch to snatch up his ball again. I have to go! Bye, Tobirama! With a cheerful, energetic wave, he bolts after his friends, and Tobirama chuckles softly, raising a hand in answer as he watches the boy go. He doesn't see Madara at the edge of the path, leaning against the gatepost and watching him with a considering look. After all, the setting sun is in his eyes, and he's far too caught up in a moment of borrowed peace to look behind him.